tonight about being a minister. I'd like to start with scripture in Mark, the 10th chapter, the 35th verse. It says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What wouldest ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on the right hand, the other on the left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." I'm asked sometimes, I've had a number of occasions anyway, where young people would say to me, "Well, Brother Marty, how do you start off being a minister? How did the Lord call you?" So I'm going to take a little time to tell you tonight how the Lord dealt with me. And I know that there's always a little difference in those kind of things, but my experience was that I wanted to serve the Lord. And I told the Lord, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." And I meant that. I just didn't know what that meant. So one day, one Sunday night, Brother Tony was preaching a message, and it was one of those messages, "Is there a man? Is there anyone to step in, stand in the gap?" type messages. And as Brother Tony was preaching, well, the Lord started dealing with me. And I looked around the congregation, and I kept listening to what he was saying and trying to fit what he was saying. You know, believing that the Lord was having his way, I was thinking it was the Lord talking, so I was saying, who's he talking to? And I tried to put it off on brother over here, sister over there, and I was looking around, and it didn't fit anyone. I just couldn't imagine what he was saying fitting anyone there but me. And the message went on, and I felt like the Lord was saying something to me, and I felt like, "Lord, I can't do it. I can't do that. I have nothing to offer in that way. I'm not exercised in that way. I don't feel capable." Have you ever felt like that? I don't feel capable. I'm not the man. I was very humble in it, thinking that the Lord is talking to me like that, that he can do something. Some week or two later, I had a dream. And in my dream, I was looking down over on the bottom of a dam. And the dam was made of bricks, and down there below the dam was the saints. Nobody in particular, just the saints. The saints was down there, and between the bricks and the dam, there was leaks starting. And the saints began to say, trying to stop the water, and the water was coming out the more along the dam. And I was looking at that thinking, "That's going to break loose. And all of those saints are down there under that, and that's going to break loose. It's going to be a disaster." And then someone looked up and saw me and said, "Brother Marty's here. He can stop the water." And in my dream, I remember saying, "Brother Marty can't stop the water." And I started looking around saying, "It's somebody else. service. The same feeling, the same humility, the fact that I'm not the man. I've never stopped water. I wouldn't know what to even do to try to do it. But the saints kept saying, you can do it. You're the one. And I ended up saying, I'll try. And in my dream, as I walked by the places, all I had to do was just touch the wall where the water was coming out, and it would stop. And I was going by, just doing it, just stopping the water. And of course, as all dreams, I woke up. And I said, Lord, if I can do it, I'll do it. If I can help in some way the kingdom of God, I'll do it. I don't know exactly what that meant. But that's the way the Lord dealt with me. In my time, the Lord called me. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more to ministry than a call to preach. There's a lot more. It's just a calling within the calling. It's a part, a small part, to be honest with you. It's not a big part of the ministry. It's a calling. It's a place that I believe the Lord has to call for. But it's not the whole calling. And just before we came out to this meeting, or out this way before Christmas, someone at home got a burden to go sing some Christmas carols. And so it was set up to do that. It's been kind of a tradition at home to do that before Christmas. We've done it for years. And I remember thinking, well, it don't matter. Not much success with that kind of a thing, but I guess it's an alright thing. That was my attitude, I think, that I took into the going out. And I'm not a real singer anyway, and so it wasn't a burden that I had. But I went along, I drove the van and carried the cookies and made snacks to take to the different ones. And so, and I sung along a little bit. And there was just a few of us. And to be honest with you, the singing wasn't outstanding. It was just singing. And we went to the different places. And I started seeing something happen. It started touching people's hearts. You know, it didn't seem like much. But as we went to the different places that couldn't get out, it seemed like such a little thing is what I'm trying to say. We didn't put out much effort. Nobody was in pain over it, or nobody really did a big, great thing. But the little thing that we did started touching people. And you could see it on their faces. And you could see a happiness in them. You could see appreciation coming out of it. Well, my mind was, after a few houses, it didn't matter. I thought, well, this will get over real quick and we can go on and do something or whatever we was going to do. But as we kept doing it and kept going on and putting more into it and more into it, people really did start responding. Well, no great revival or anything, but hearts was beginning to be touched. And you could see it happening. And it touched me too. And so I began to think, Lord, I really don't want to waste the time that you've given me here. Yeah. Been serving the Lord for some 23 years almost now. And I don't want to waste any time serving you. I want to be about my Father's business. And Lord, there's got to be more than what I've been doing. I want to do it. Lord, what do you got? And so I began this idea, Lord, what can I do? I have a ministry and been trying to be faithful to that ministry, but I think the Lord has more. Well, a couple of days after that, before we left, we've kind of done this a few times too. Lynn did make up some snacks for the people that were around us, and we'd take a plate of snacks to them before Christmas, and he'd give me a chance to go and say Merry Christmas to them and those kind of things. And there was neighbors that we haven't been just really that close, and I thought at different times maybe they had something against me or something like that. And so I went with these plates and went to them and offered them something. A lot of calories and a box of sugar. But I found out what something it did. And a little work from my wife. But I started giving these plates to the neighbors, and you know, I saw something happen. I saw something in people's eyes. It didn't amount to a whole lot of effort, but I started seeing something as I went. Some of them was like, for me. It was, you do that for me. I took one to our postmaster lady, her name's Doris. I took her a plate, and I was being a little lighthearted as I could be sometimes, and I said, well, you know, we wanted to make sure that our, you kind of represent the community, and we want to make sure that you're good and plump, and so we brought you this. I'm going to tell you, I wish you could have seen this lady's face. Not because of what I said, but when I reached her this, if there wouldn't have been the counter there, I believe she'd have come out there and hugged me. I don't know what touched her so much, but to me to reach that and say, we thought about you. And something moved on her till she was busy doing her things, and she dropped half of it, and she had her right hand, and she took her left hand and was just, well, thank you. She was just touched by it. There's a ministry. You can make a difference. Brethren, there's more to ministry than this pulpit. This is such a small place that the Lord's called us to. Now this scripture started out some men totally off about what it's all about. Looking to be esteemed. I'm going to tell you something about ministry. When my wife and I were getting married, we came, our circumstances, as most of you know, was very different than most. After the loss of my first wife and all, and things were very different for us, it was a different situation. And so there was those that said, and maybe even give a little counsel this way, that maybe Linda was just after the glamour of the ministry. It's still kind of a joke to us as we're going down the road in the middle of the night and the van being hot and crowded and a little body odors and all of long travels and those kind of things. And I'll look over at my wife and say, you found the glamour yet? And those times we come to Guthrie and we pick up the many few flukes that run around here and the children are growing up on the way home. I'll say to Linda, have you found the glamour yet of the ministry? I want you to know that I appreciate the Lord tonight. He's blessed us very much. And it's worth all of it. But there's no glamour in it. There is an exalting for the work's sake. But there's no glamour in it. We are seeking a glamour. If anything, we're looking for the glory that's over there. We want to serve the Lord is what it's about. These men had it wrong. To be exalted up. And the Lord comes in and positively tells them this. You want to be great? You want to amount to something? You want to be something? You want to be something precious in the eyes of the Lord? It's not being a ruler. It's not having great authority or great ideas or great intelligence or great abilities. It's about humbling yourself down and having the heart of a servant. A heart of a servant is what the Lord wants. Just the heart of a servant. One that's willing to humble himself down and be a servant. One that's willing to go down to do whatever it takes. Is mankind your business? Many times we say, that's none of my business. It's God's business. Then it's my business. If I'm serving the Lord, it's my business. Humankind ought to be our business. The welfare of all should be our business. The salvation of all is definitely our business. And the Lord said here, if you would be great, there's a way to achieve greatness, but it's not what you think. It's the heart of a servant. It's one that's willing to minister. Now, there's definitions to this idea of ministry. One is an attendant. One that attends. One is to wait upon. To wait upon someone else. To serve. To be a host. To be a friend. You know, think about this. You can make a difference.
Yes.
You can. Start ministering to your wife. Might make a difference. Amen. Wives, start ministering to your husband. Might make a difference. I read a book recently, and the part of that book was there was a man that was a man and a wife, and they had grown apart in their ways, and the man had had an affair on his wife. Well, after it came to light, and they fought over it a little bit, and decided it was worth trying to save the marriage, and they're trying to save the marriage, and they determined to work it out, and was going that way, and they was praying about it, and looking at their faults and all that, and the wife ends up asking the man for the woman that he cheated with her phone number. And he gives her the phone number, and the wife calls up. I was very challenged by this. Wife calls the woman up and tells her, knows about the whole situation, and tells the woman, said, I'm taking credit for this. I'm taking the blame. It was my fault. I wasn't the wife that I should have been. Now, I know he was at fault, but I'm saying what she said. She said, I know, I'm taking the blame. I wasn't the wife that I was supposed to be, but I'm going to be from now on. And if I do it right, you'll never hear of it from him again. Why wait then? Why not make a difference before that place? You might be able to make a difference. It won't be through trying to exert authority. It's worth fighting for. Let's fight for it. You know the way to fight for it? Humility. Humble yourself down and become a servant. Become a minister and begin to minister. I'll tell you, in the fear of the Lord, you'll make a difference if you do. Husbands, if you'll take the attitude to minister to your wife, it'll make a difference to her. And sisters, if you'll take the opportunity to minister to your husband, it'll make a difference to him. You can have what we heard about the other night. You can have a marriage that works if you'll do that. If you'll humble yourself, it'll work. So Lord, help us tonight that we realize what the Lord has called us for. A servant. The Lord needs ministers. From the pulpit all the way down. Or up, whichever you want to look at it. The Lord needs ministers. There needs to be ministers in congregations, in neighborhoods, in every place that we can find. Humanity's a business. Everywhere we go, there's people that need help. And it's our business to do it. Lord, help me. I'm looking forward to it. More and more. I want to see the look in people's eyes to know that they're loved and cared for. It takes something to win people to the Lord. It takes some effort. It takes some energy. It takes some doing. It takes something. No, we're not going to heaven by works, but the Lord give us a prescription here of something that's going to work. It's humility. And He gives us the greatest challenge. Let's read some of it again. But it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, your servant, your attendant, the waiter, your host, your friend. This will be the one. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. The higher you get, the lower you are. The lower you go, the higher you go in God's kingdom. The more worth you are, the lower you go. The more valuable it is, the more willingness. Lord, help us. How far will we go to touch a soul? And then here's the challenge. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Alright? Wow. Now let's put this in perspective. Well, He's the one that created all of this, right? He's the ruler of it all. There's no power or principality that He ain't in charge of. When I get to thinking to what He is and put Him in His right place, this says something. It says, how dare me to not be a servant. Because the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give His life a ransom for many. Another scripture I want to look at over in Matthew. 25th chapter of Matthew, starting in the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come, in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we the sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. Now, if the Lord was here in any capacity like that, and we saw it, and we was aware of it, we surely would do that. But He is. Yes. And His cause is here. Yes. And His purpose is here. Yes. And the idea here of this is just to be able to touch somebody in their needs. How far would you go to do it? And I have been challenged by this because most everyone will do it in an easy place. In the convenient place. In a place that don't stress me or challenge me. And that's an easy place to go. But all of these are challenging. Prisons are challenging. Sicknesses are challenging. I mean, all these things are challenging places. And He said, when did we not minister? Well, that's the issue. When did we not minister? When did we not wait on you? When did we not? See, the term visit there, you want to look at that term visit, is not just in the idea of going over to see someone, but to visit them. It means to make a difference. It means to go in and do something, to relieve what it means, to relieve. To go in, I saw a need that I could take care of, and I done something about it. I can do it. Under the old Jewish ideas and maxims, it was the idea that if you can do something for someone and you didn't do it, you was guilty of murder. If you could have saved their life and you didn't save it, then you was the same as a murderer. Because you could have done it. And if you did do it, then it was highly thought of that a person would visit or relieve the sick or reach out and do what they can do. It goes into all kinds of areas. It goes into the areas, for instance, not just that you can do something about sin, but we all have duties. We have duties. And when you sin, you can't take care of your duties. But there's one that will go in and do the duties. There's one that will go in and minister. And what did it say of the Lord? He came to give a ransom, His own life, for us. And He challenges us that we would make our life a ransom for others. That we'd give it for others. That we'd be willing to reach out and minister to others. Another little episode in the book I was telling you about that I read. I can't vouch for the authenticity of it, but it sounded true. It was written to be true. There was a in the book. There was an older black man, and he come in contact with an old white man, and his desire was to help him to minister to this older white man, very tough old man. And the only thing that the older white man ever referred to the black man as was nigger. So over the time that he tried to help him, he never would even want to learn his name or call him. He just always called him that term. Always called him that. So the man went on helping him. And all he would call him was nigger. And he went on helping him. How far would you go? The white man ends up in this old folks' place and nursing home place that was very run down and nasty. And this black man that was there, that was a Christian, he ends up taking another man there to visit him. And here this old man, he was way up in his 80s, and he was laying there in his own waste with his food that had spoiled laying around on the carts and in the room. This place smelled so bad that the man that he took there couldn't handle it, and he left. But this old man, this old black man, he went in there and he cleaned him up. And he cleaned his room up and he cleaned the mess up and he cleaned him up. He ministered to him. You don't think you can make a difference? It made a difference. Not all at once sometimes, but it makes a difference. That's what the Lord did when he come down here.
Amen.
He come down here and was called Beelzebub. He was called all the things that men can do to him, and despised and rejected, and he gave his life. He became a minister to all. He ministered his life out and gave his life, and now we're left with the challenge. Oh, the Lord needs ministers. I want to tell you, it's the best life that there ever was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ministering to the human cause. You're ministering grace.
Yes.
Ministering kindness. Ministering love where there is none. There was no love in this old hard-hearted man's life. None. He had no respect for anybody, anywhere. He didn't care what the terminology, he didn't care what people said or how bad he was him. But it made a difference. He ended up coming down and the old man said something about that, something about a Christian, and this old white man said, "I hate Christians. Christians are black people." This black man says, "I'm a Christian." And do you know that man's heart changed? He started saying, "I'm sorry I've been calling you that.
Come on.
I'm sorry for that." It took something to get there.
Yes.
It took something. I want to tell you that, as I said before, it's not glamorous.
No.
There's no glamour in this.
Amen.
This is about serving, and you know who we're really serving?
The Lord.
We're serving God.
Yes.
Every instant we have to reach out in that capacity, we're doing it unto the Lord.
Yes.
If Jesus was here, I'd be first in line to wash his feet. If I could beat the rest of you there. He ain't here. In a sense, he's not here. But then again, maybe he is. He is here the way he desires to be here.
That's right.
And he wants us to be able to minister what we have. You don't have to be called to the pulpit, but you're called to minister. You're called to minister in your family. You're called to, if you have a marriage, you're called to minister in that. It'll be the best and richest and most blessed place you'll ever be if you minister in your marriage.
Right.
It'll be the best it can be when you become a minister and don't look at all that I can gain and get out of it. Lord, help me. God, I want to tell you, I need the Lord to help me to have a heart of a servant. Lord, just let me serve you. Let me find the glory that's in serving God. Let me see your face in these places. Let me see you in my brother. Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's where you're going to see him. You're going to see him in humanity.
Yes.
You're going to see him in the downtrodden. You're going to see him in the because it ain't a place that people rush to. But there's a place of ministry there.
Amen.
And the Lord's calling every single one of us that name the name of Christ to step up and be a minister.
Yeah.
And you might say, how do I do it? Well, I'm pretty simple in my thinking. I don't think it's complex. I think you just humble yourself and do what you know to do, and you'll find yourself a servant. I say it in this way. I have been in the place and seen my wife in the place and had her tell me simple things like this. When someone with children, a young lady or someone with children, especially small children, come out of the grocery store with a buggy and they got to put their children in the car, in a car seat, and they have to put the buggy up. Now that's a pretty difficult time because they either got to take the children along with them, especially if it's bad weather, or we've got to leave the child in the car if we're going to put the buggy all the way up. That's a perfect time, and this is a small illustration. I understand how tough of a place that can be for a mother that won't leave her child. That's a perfect place to say, ma'am, can I take your buggy for you? You'd be surprised how many of them will have a big relief on their face and say, thank you very much. Oh, I didn't win them to Christ. But then again, we ministered.
Amen.
We ministered. We minister in what we know and what we can do. We minister where we can. We have, it's the mind of a servant. Lord, help me to serve. Help me to have a mind of a servant. Help me to go and look. And one of the definitions of a servant is actually found in this idea, or in visit. The term visit is in this idea to relieve of a situation. That's the visit. I'm visiting. You're saying, the Lord visited me. What are you saying? He just come and you saw him and left? No. The Lord makes a difference when he comes. And you can too. It's to relieve something. To take pressure off of something. It also means to inspect. Now listen to that. The word visit means to inspect. When you come looking. What can I do? I remember one time Sister Sammons, somebody was with her, don't remember who it was, but Sister Sammons came to our place. My wife was sick. She came in and done the dishes. Oh, well, that's not too tough of a ministry. I always told my boys that don't take rocket scientists to wash dishes. Pretty simple process. You just keep them washing until they're clean. You've done a good job that way. No rocket scientist. Something you can do. Moved into a situation. Got to be done. Come in and done it. Inspected. To come in and inspect. To relieve. To be able to come in and make a difference. To do something. That's minister. That's ministering. It's more than that. Of course, the ultimate. The ultimate in ministering is to minister grace. Is to give hope. To give hope. Do you know there's a lot of people in this world that have none? They can't see hope in anything. They can't see where they can find happiness. They can't see that the next day is going to be better than the one before. But somebody with the grace of God, somebody with the Spirit of God, can come in with a smile and with a ministering spirit. A ministry, a servant's mind can come in and offer such hope. You can.
Yes.
It can be better.
Yes.
We can make it better.
Yes.
The Lord loves you. Do you know how many people have been altered forever by those simple words that God loves you? Oh, it has been life-changing for some people.
Right.
Simply somebody coming, and when they're hopeless and down and nothing else to look for, and somebody says, God loves you. We think everybody knows that. No, they don't. No, there's people that don't realize it. And there's a ministry that happens. God loves you. God's got something better for you than what you've got. Oh, it's so hopeless in my marriage. I'm looking for the thread and I want to say, but I don't know. It can be better. Yes, it can be better. Do you know the testimonies of our life are used for that purpose? They really are. Everything that the Lord has helped you with is a potential to do something for somebody. Everything that you can say, I was that way, brother. If you had a problem cheating, drinking, smoking, drugs, whatever it was, you have a testimony. You've got something to minister. You've got something that you can say. It can be better. Go delivers. God still delivers people from sin. God still delivers from habits. God is still powerful and mighty, and His salvation is a great salvation. We got something to say to people. It can be better for you. Yes. Oh, how am I going to handle this? I'm going to tell you tonight, whatever situation you're in, God is able to change the circumstance or you.
Amen.
I prefer the or you when it comes to me. I would prefer the Lord to change in my heart, and then next time it comes the same way, He don't have to fool the circumstances. He's already got me changed.
That's
and I can handle that by His grace.
Right.
And we got something that we can minister to those that are around us. And oh, the Lord wants ministers.
Yes.
The Lord needs ministers today. I was very touched by the message this morning. It was so accurate, of course, and so true. And the truth of it is that I said when Brother Michael was preaching, I'm on the truth camp. Now, I'm saying over there a lot more than I was in the other. I'm just going to tell you, in preaching that, it said something to me. It said, where you been? And I said, I was over in the truth camp. That's where I've been. And I think there's a good fullness of that that needs to come in on the other side. I've had some passion and I've had some desire for the work of the Lord, but I understood what the brother said too.
Yes.
It needs to come together. And the Lord is looking for passion and desire. And I ain't one of these that thinks that a cart rolled down the aisle means anything. But I say this, we need to have passion and desire in our heart to see God's work in this earth and to see people truly helped and truly preserved. And we see it in the spiritual mind. We recognize and realize that the potential is there to minister. And I'm not going to go through the story, but many of you know that I had a little incident at home. Where a guy, he wanted to kill me. And it looked like he got pretty close at doing it. And I tell you, I'm not going to go through the details, but he had that gun right up on my head with the gun right there, and his teeth was a-grinning, and he was doing all this, and he was squeezing on that trigger, and he was saying how much I hate you, and I'm going to kill you. And you know, the Lord done something that was just totally miraculous. He gave me grace. And peace. And I don't have any bitterness towards that man. He said at one point, I hate you. And I said, I love you. That was my response. I got to come back. And he ended up taking it and poking it and jammed the end of that gun in the side of my head. Dark no lights exploded in my head. I still love him.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you what he done. He got me and my wife praying for him regularly. I want to tell you what my desire is. I want to tell you what my desire is. And I know that there's a host of opinions to say how I handle it. I won't go into that. I feel like the Lord helped me to do it just the way He wanted me to do it. I did not resist evil. I stayed there and the Lord protected me. The guy beat on my head about 15, 20 punches. He did not hurt me. And what little bit had done, it cleared up and I healed so fast, it did not hurt. The Lord protected me. And I'm going to tell you what it did. It made me want to be a better minister of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It made me to want to see that man saved passionately. Passionately. I want to see that man come to the Lord. And it opened up the whole realms to me. Well, not just him. Everybody.
Yes.
Everybody. It took away my apprehensions. Why not? What are you going to do? Hit me on the head? What's the most you can do? Jam a rifle in my head? The inhibitions is gone. Look, I want to see him saved. And I'm praying that way. A minister. Ministering the grace of God to people. Ministering with your life. I'm going to tell you, the message that you can't leave off half. So in closing, there's a scripture in James, the first chapter of James. Very familiar scripture. James 1 and 27, probably most of us could quote it. Pure religion and undefiled. That's what we're interested in. No defilements. Pure religion. What's the real thing? I don't want to play church. I'm nothing in it. There's not enough glory. What you get out of it is not to make it right. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This visit. It don't mean show up. That just don't mean to go and let everybody know that you went there. This visit means to relieve, to inspect, to accomplish. It means to relieve the widows and the orphans. Make a difference. Can you make a difference? You can make a difference. You sure can make a difference. It's what a minister of the Lord's supposed to do. And it says that to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So again, we find exactly what we heard today. We find the two ideas. We've got to keep unspotted from the world. We can't pick up the world. What can we offer to anybody if we've got the world? The world, that's all we offer. So there's two parts. I keep myself unspotted from the world, and yet there's this burning ministry to reach out to all the world. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. How am I going to do it? I'm going to do it with my life. I'm going to live a life of peace. I'm going to live a life of hope. I'm going to have joy in my heart. That's right. I can't give anything that I don't have. I got to have it for myself. I got to know the Lord Jesus, or I'm not going to be able to introduce Him to anybody else. Oh, words are flowery, and I can come up with all kinds of things, and you can too. But the reality is not there if you don't really have it. The relationship with the Lord, and I've said it many times, you can't say it too often, too loud. You can't say, there's no way. You must have a relationship with the Lord yourself.
That's right.
And it can't be overstated. And when we have that relationship, and the desire to be a servant of the Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that the Lord would make ministers out of every one of us.
Yes. Yes.
Because really, that's what the Lord wants to do, is make a minister out of every one of us. And you say, I can't get up. I'm not talking about getting up here. I'm talking about ministering words seasoned with salt. Those phone calls, let them never be gossip again. Lord, help me to be a servant of the Lord. A minister. Now that phone is meant to the glory of God. I'll say good things. I will not backbite. I won't talk about other people. But I will edify and lift up. There's too much sourness going on anyway. Let me speak the things that make people uplifted and give them hope and give them something. Ministering to people. You're not hope of that. That I mean to live my life that way to where I go. Why not? I'm still able to walk and do those things. Why not take somebody's card for them? Why not give them a smile, a little bit of hope? Let them know that there's something else in the world, but an old dismal world, to minister. The gospel, the great plan of God. What a privilege that the Lord has given us to call us to such a thing. That He would entrust to a people the very bread of life. That He would entrust to us, that we might make a difference to somebody's life. And I'm going to tell you, I still believe the greatest life that you can live is one of servant. Because that's what Jesus came down and done, and He gave His life. So tonight, who's willing? Lord calling on you? Lord saying anything? Who'd be willing to go to those kind of places and say to the Lord, I'll do it. Do you know what kind of glory rests on that kind of service? You say, I ain't going to be going and cleaning nobody up. I ain't going into that kind of place. My stomach's too weak. We'll tell you, Lord, strengthen your stomach.
Yeah.
Lord, give you grace to go in and do it. And I'm going to tell you, there'll be something to come on you that you'll be able to testify about. There'll be something to come on you that you'll never forget serving God like that.
Amen.
I desire your prayers. I want you.
Yes.